This is Inside Dirt. I'm John Pellin. To my right, Mark Strawbanger, otherwise known as Banger. Welcome aboard, Mark.
I'll tell you what, John, it's great to get up here and actually get to sit back and relax and kind of recap the day and the weekend. So, Inside Dirt, I think this is an awesome idea.
Yeah, and listen how quiet it is, Mark. It's kind of my ears are still ringing. Other than that noise going on, this is pretty cool. We've got some, you know, peace for once. Everybody's out of here. It's Sunday, what, about 7 p.m., and we're able to calmly, collectively report the news.
Yeah, actually, you know, last weekend in Reynolds, Georgia, that was actually not last weekend, but the last event, of course, 2 weeks ago in Reynolds, Georgia, was quite an event. You know, Thursday night, when everybody came in, it seems like everybody came in Thursday night, and I was telling the CEO, Rick Murphy, I was going, Rick, we are going to have 700 riders here. It was just unbelievable. Everybody came in Thursday night. The pits were full, almost overflowing. We had to open up a back field. And like I said, Thursday night, we had probably 400 riders there. It was pretty intense.
Yeah, the WPSA is the, it seems where everybody was concentrated on going, and they sure did show up. I didn't like the fact that there was nothing there. And I mean, the track was all right, I guess. They hadn't had any events for a while, I take it?
Well, you know, that is primarily a drag strip. So that is their primary function there in Reynolds, Georgia. And the facility, as far as with the drag strip, that was kind of nice at night to have something to watch, you know, after hours. But, you know, they it's kind of, we went there as a test. You know, there was another track in mind in Georgia that we're, the WPSA was focused on, and some circumstances took us away from that. So, hey, we went the Silver Dollar. And as far as the event went on, it went great.
I'll give it up for the girls that showed up. Seemed like southern Georgia was a hotbed for the honeys. As far as I'm concerned, it was one of the better events. I'm always looking. I can't help it.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Also, it's been 2 years since they've had a motocross race there. So the track was almost like a Grand Prix-style track there. The starting area was a grass starting area.
What about the race itself? What was what did you think of John Natale?
Oh, he was awesome. You know, in practice, he was definitely set a blistering pace out there. And Chad Weenan, of course, was running strong. And but John, as far as the Super Quad Pro 450 class, he was definitely the man on top of the game. You know, the podium, of course, was Wimmer, Gust, and Natale taking the win. And Chad Weenan was charging hard and actually catching Natale. And, you know, just like I was telling Chad, you know, he always runs a little too hard, and he's kind of tough on equipment. It kind of reminds me of the old Donnie Banks.
It
just go, and if your equipment breaks, well, then blame it on the equipment. But
yeah, Chad's riding style is, I don't think I've seen anything like it. I'm an admirer of Corey Ellis, Donnie Banks, that kind of just over-exaggerated style where they're just like, you know, the Bulldog Banks off the back of the quad, Corey all over the place. I really have always admired how they ride a quad, and now Chad Weenan style, it seems like he's over the handlebars half the time, half the race, and manhandling this thing. It's fun to watch him race.
Well, you know, he's a big guy, and that's why they call him Big in Galena, Illinois. That's when he was in high school, his nickname was Big. And if you see the pictures on the internet or you know, coming up on ESPN2, you'll actually realize how big of a guy this is. And sometimes a bigger guy really can use his body English to really make that, you know, his unit perform.
I'm going to skip ahead to round two already. I can't help it. I'm getting excited about Chad Weenan, and I've watched him develop, and we're let's go to round two. We've got some an audio clip of Chad talking about his round two adventures, and so let's hand it off to our trackside correspondent, Justin Anderson, who earlier talked to Chad Weenan about what it's like to be a privateer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Big change from being a privateer and getting an opportunity to step up here and with you know, Suzuki, them stepping up for me is a huge deal. And they got sponsors on board like Rockstar, MSR Pro Taper, Suzuki Yoshimura, you know, Walsh Racecraft, Rad Racing, you know, everybody. They make the team come together and looking for big things out of the season.
of being a privateer as long as you have been, is this like kind of like a dream come true? You sort of made the show with a big factory deal?
Oh yeah, this is definitely what everybody works for, and you know, everybody dreams of something like this, and only so many people get an opportunity like this, and you take advantage of it. You just don't be satisfied with just making it. You got to make it happen.
Obviously, chemistry is very important in racing. With a brand new team, how has it been so far, one race under your belt?
It's been going really well. Our first two heat races, we got a second and a first, and then we came out in the main, and we had some fuel issues, and I was running second at the time, but we're gonna get the Rockstar Suzuki out front.
Now, he was saying something down there about giving me a "you can do it." How about giving me a "you can do it"?
You can do it. You know, everybody around here has a really good vibe around the you know, the racing, and you know, the team really comes together and accepts me, and I believe good things will happen.
Now, this being the second year of WPSA competition, what do you think so far? How are we doing over here?
It's going great. Stepping in and you know, putting everything on the line, and believing that this is definitely something that's going to stick around, and you know, showing the world what we do, and we couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, you know, Chad really did go from one extreme to the other. Mark, did you get a chance to read the editorial put together by ATVScene.com's West Coast editor, Ray Larez?
Actually, man, I haven't seen that. Tell me about it.
Awesome, awesome story. Ray put together the words that, if you're listening home, you got to go tune in. It's the GNC National, the Glen Helen National, which I think was round two. The story that is there is definitely good reading. I'll sum it up if someone can't read it, or if I'll sum it up for you. Chad was basically late to the line because he was in the pits putting together his own motor with the help of a collected few that he gathered around. And I guess Ray tells us in the article that he barely got to the line. In fact, he got there so late that the board was turned sideways. He didn't even have time to put his goggles down, basically. The gate dropped. Of course, he was pretty much dead to last, coming out of the gate, charging up the big, you know, Talladega turn through there. I think only two people were behind him. I think there was 13 riders total. But within a lap, he had worked himself to fifth. Between the next lap, he was already pressuring Joe Bird for the lead. And then midway through the race, not only passed Joe, but walked on him. That's what I read from Ray, and summed it up on the phone with him, and Ray agreed. It's absolutely amazing, and that's where I think I really became a fan, because of Ray's words, what he accomplished over there, being that, you know, going from, and then of course later the motor, he had a problem. I don't think it was related to anything wrongdoing. It's just some, you know, a privateer issue. You know what I mean? So then from what I'm getting at is, from that extreme to having the full factory ride, he's the story, he's the talk of the scene.
Well, you know, last year he was showing a lot of promise, but, you know, he spent a lot of time in Texas, you know, practicing at Caddo Point and Splendor Motocross Park, and actually doing some pretty heavy-duty training. You know, he was a big boy. He weighed, you know, he's weighed over 200 pounds since he was in the sixth grade, so, you know, this is the first time that he's slimmed up and muscled up, so... You know, Chad, I think he got real serious about his racing venue. And this summer, you know, he ran some TQRA races, and he was running the D-Manchak Rage ATV machine, and was also running the newcomer, the Holeshot technology crew. He was all set up, ready to go, and then all of a sudden, like you said, this dream came true, and Big, as we call him, Chad Weenan, kind of got handed a golden spoon.
Yeah, it's an awesome story. It's cool that he's brought this football mentality to our sport. And in fact, it's an awesome story. If you guys haven't heard, Chad actually turned down a few football scholarships to play college football because of his passion for ATV racing. I think that's huge. The guy's not only awesome to ride, but he's got some really... I don't know how to say it. He takes whatever he does to heart big time, and he means business. And I don't know if anyone's ever trained so hard, because he came out of nowhere. Last year, I saw he had a couple good podiums. I think he just barely made a podium at once, but nothing huge. I mean, he knew he was a good rider, but this year it's just... He's like I said, that football mentality. I don't know if he's doing 4 days at home or what, but maybe his 2-day football practice, you know, he's come into play.
Well, he's given a golden opportunity, and he's doing a real good job with it. You know, they call him big for a good reason. He's has an over 200-pound frame, and you know what I thought was really neat is in that interview he said that. That he could not do it without us being the WPSA. And for him to, I mean, he's a very smart guy. And you know what was really amazing was on the podium today, the fans, how much noise they made for him. You know, we are here in Illinois, and I think the majority of his fans are here. And it was like a really heart-touching moment when...
Right. Yeah,
when we filled that podium up,
I asked
just
him,
amazing.
I asked him after the track. We did some video interviews with him and stuff. And I asked him, "Could you hear? Did you hear what was going on? I mean, the crowd here went nuts for him." And he said, "Oh yeah, he could definitely hear it through the helmet." That yeah, he's I'd rate it to Doug Gust. I mean, he's I think Doug is one of the most fan favorite riders of all time. Doug has always been well received by. The spectators, no matter what track we're at. You know, we've been in Florida and still seems like there's always be a lot of Doug Gust fans. And I think Chad's going to be just as big. It seems like everybody loves the kid.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. You know, speaking about that today, it was pretty amazing as a little wrap-up for the Taylorville, Illinois race. Kilby, of course, Scott Kilby on the 207 K&M doing a great job, but... Can you believe the phenomenal finish by Suzuki, taking the top five places? Now, I was talking to Pat Alexander, and Pat said he's been doing this for over 30 years. And he said, this is, and I said, you know, on the podium, I asked him, I said, Pat, have you ever seen any one team take the top five places? And he just said, Mark, in the past 30 years, no. Just flat out, he came out and told me, no, he's never seen it. So not only was the podium filled with Gust, Wimmer, and Weenan taking the top three podium positions, but also Javisto taking fourth, and Russell Shoemaker rounding out the top five Suzukis on the podium. You know what this is going to do? This is going to ignite the other factories to... They're looking at this going, guys, we need to really step it up. And I think we're going to see the other factories getting a little bit heavier involved. You know, Suzuki was the first one that came aboard with WPSA. They embraced us with open arms. You know, they took a risk by coming with us. And, well, I think they made the right choice. There's some smart people over there at American Suzuki.
I agree. I think they're instrumental in the success the sport's receiving right now. And I think it's going to get really good here. Can-Am's on its way, and so is KTM. And they're sitting back, and they probably already saw that what Suzuki's doing, and that's probably where they're going to want to be. They're not going to be, half-assed attempt to have
a factory team.
They're going to go full bore, I believe.
I think we're going to see a lot come out of American Suzuki and the... Jimmy White, of course, team manager over there, and Reed Norden doing a great job. They've been working together for 30-plus years as well. So, in fact, I think we even have an interview with Jimmy White that maybe we can go to next.
Yeah, that's the other team that is Kawasaki is definitely stepping it up. I don't know if you see it at the track. You definitely have a presence, which is always nice. A lot of the other factories don't seem to have a presence, but... But Kawasaki does, and yeah, I'm happy right now because we're going to go to one of my favorite all-time persons in life. Growing up as a kid, Jimmy White was one of my heroes. So, yeah, absolutely. Let's see what Justin Anderson had to discover from J-Dub when he talked about why he chose the WPSA, why he and the whole factory Kawasaki team chose WPSA for their 2007 efforts.
A few different reasons. One is us. It's a brand new season, obviously, for us, or it's a new team was put together. The season started later than the other series did, which gave us a little bit. We didn't get bikes until 1st of March.
Okay.
So the turnaround to get ready for the first other series, it would have been really tough. Another reason why is because this is, I think, a little bit of a friendlier series for racers and teams, and much better TV coverage. I don't get Versus at home. I can't get it, you know, and that's what the other series coverage is. And I think overall package, I think WPSA is on the right track at this point.
So far, you've been through one race. I mean, I know you've probably been knocking a few things around, trying to figure some things out. How is it going so far?
It's going good. We're learning something new at every time we get on these bikes. Like I said, they're actually 2008 KFX 450s that were at the dealerships middle of March. So we started testing, I think it was right before Christmas, and with one bike with two riders, which was kind of a nightmare. So we're learning something new every time we get on it, and as far as the races are going, we obviously only had the one, and yeah, it was good. It was what we expected.
So what do you think so far from a marketing promotion perspective? Is this where Kawasaki wants to be as a company and its racing for its racing ATVs?
Well, that's why we're here. Definitely, better TV package, better presentation of sponsors. Overall, yes. Even if we wouldn't have got the bikes late, and we would have had to make a choice, we would have been here. We made a conscious decision to be here, no matter what. Does the other series have things that I like better? I'll be honest with you, yeah. I love the set times, knowing you're going to practice at 10, you're racing at noon and 3. This is a little bit of a pain in our butt, if you will, wondering what time we're going to be out there and everything. And I've talked to Rick, and it's been addressed in tests, and they're going forward with it, and they'll make good changes, I'm sure of that. But, yeah, we made a conscious decision to be here, and I'm glad we did make that decision.
Now, bringing your two riders in, what figured into the decision for Kramer and Lou Bird?
As far as picking them as the riders?
Yeah, as far as picking them to be out.
You know, I've been, ever since I got done racing about 100 years ago, I've always been involved with the sport one way or the other. And I've been sponsoring Jason Lou Bird with tires when I was at Kenda. I was with Kenda for 5 years, developing tires, sponsoring riders. Then I went from Kenda to a company out of India called BKT for a few years. I've always sponsored Jason. I've had a good working relationship with him. He's more of a senior rider, even though he's only 23 years old. He's been around in the pro leagues, and he's got great potential. I mean, bottom line is he's got great potential. There's not one track, one given day that he can't go out there and win. Josh was more of a project, if you will. Young, last year was his first year in the pro class, and aggressive, and they're completely two different riding styles, two different personalities, and it's good for us to have both.
Now, in terms of this season, how are you labeling this? Is this really a developmental season for the team, or is this...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We don't expect to win a championship this year. That's not why we're here. We're here to develop the bike, develop riders. Kawasaki's philosophy is to build champions, not to buy champions. So that's why we picked the riders we picked. Neither one of them's won a championship. We hope to build a program around that they can win a championship with us, basically, is what it comes down to.
How and this bike compared to what last year's bike was, how different is it?
This is a first sport 450 quad Kawasaki's built. They haven't had a sport race quad. Their 400 that was out was basically a Suzuki with Kawasaki plastic on it.
So this is brand spanking new.
Brand new for Kawasaki.
Man, you gotta love J Dub the way he hits it right between the eyes. Says it just like it is. Don't you agree, Mark?
You know, he's definitely been around this sport a long time, and it's cut right to the chase. No baloney about it.
You know, you mentioned television. You know, probably know more stats than I do. Versus ESPN2. ESPN2, what are we up to now? What kind of people are watching this thing?
Actually, I've heard numbers of 4 and 5 million people.
That's tuned in at one time. Because I heard 70 million households, but that's at one time.
Actually, it's 90 million households. It's grown. ESPN2 has grown, of course, and being attached to more cable networks. So we're going to 90 million households, but the numbers are about, you know, 4 and 5 million people are watching this this show, and it's just growing. I think it's real smart. The Times are having it on noon Eastern time on Saturdays, and then I believe the last four events are going to be right before NASCAR. So people are going to be tuning in to NASCAR. That's going to be on Friday. So they're going to be saying, "Okay, NASCAR's coming on." They're going to turn it on and catch the end of these shows,
wow.
And they're going to say, "Oh my gosh, look at this, yeah. Man! We have got to start watching this." So the head honchos at WPSA. They spend a lot of money purchasing that ESPN2 airtime. So your money, you got to be smart where you put your money and what times it's run. And
that's tight. You mean we're going to be on just before NASCAR? You're saying
yes, on Fridays, the last four
wow.
events. And
that's
you know awesome. that's what Jimmy was talking about. He said he doesn't even get Versus. I mean, I don't even know what Versus
is. I don't
is.
Either. I flipped through. I got a lot of channels too. I don't ever saw it.
But, you know, we can go on past that. You know, let's talk about, you know, why they decided to go with WPSA. You know, he said, well, the season started later. And the reason why they went, because they really were not ready when the other series started. So they were kind of forced to go with WPSA. The bikes came in a little bit late. Of course, you heard him talking about the 2008 KFX 450 with the aluminum frame and the fuel injection and all that. Machine didn't even they didn't get the first one till in December, so most of their testing and stuff, that was a prototype bike, so they kind of got thrown into the WPSA event. And but you know, Jimmy said, "Hey man, it's a lot friendlier, the people here."
Right.
I think WPSA, you know, we all have our orange shirts on and we get out there and try to you know, get out there and take care of the customer. That's what you got to remember, is take care of the customer, you know. And he's got some great riders, Luberg and Creamer. What do you think about those two guys?
I think they're definitely got the speed it takes. It's just they're still young, and it's going to take a year to dial that quad in, even though it's pretty good. I haven't rode one yet, but I heard it's pretty good, but it's still... like he said, they're not chasing a championship just yet. They're dialing in the bugs, and I think they did pretty well today. I don't have I should have the cheat in front of me, but I don't. I think they ended up with an eighth and a ninth or something.
Well, now Josh Memmer was involved in that crash just a few feet from the start, and he was coming out of the hole doing real strong. And Josh really, I couldn't tell who it was, but all I seen was a green machine just shoot up into the sky about 10 feet in the air. So I talked to Josh after the event, and he was pretty scratched up. But his spirits were high, you know. And, you know, Jimmy was talking about train them as you want them. You know, he was talking about building the team. And I think if you take somebody that's already pro and... You can't really mold them to the kind of person that you want. I think as the Kawasaki factory racing team grows and develops, their riders are going to grow and develop, and this is going to be a lot better than having somebody that's got a set way of doing things and coming into your program and say, "Well, this is the way I do stuff usually, and this is the way I want to do it." That way you've got two fresh guys coming in, you have a fresh program, and they're going to build, and you know, new things come out of stuff like that. So I think
right.
this is a great thing for Jimmy White and Reed Norton. They've been working together forever.
Did you know Reed was Jimmy's mechanic? That's
yeah.
how he started. He was,
yep.
And I remember I was geez, little 10 years old. Well, I was probably 12,
well,
13.
You know,
I remember looking and watching Reed Nordine just as well as J Dub and wrenching on stuff. And oh man, the wars he used to have with Marty Hart, it was classic. I
right.
love it was the good old days. But
well,
yeah, I agree. Just I don't know Josh Creamer as well as I do Luberg, but I think Luberg was a great choice. I think he's not only good on the track, but he's had a lot of hard luck, and people haven't seen him, his true capability, and I think they're going to soon.
Well, I'll tell you what, Reed, of course, has been with Kawasaki for 30 years, and Jimmy White got away a little bit, but these guys are back together. They've mm-hmm. worked together. They know how to produce a very potent team, and like I said earlier, these guys are going to train them as you want them kind of type of deal, and I think it's great. This is going to be a perfect thing for Kawasaki. I think Kawasaki is going to put a team together, and they're going to come out with both guns blazing. And I think Kawasaki is really going to step it up. I think you're really going to be surprised what you're going to see happening with the factory Kawasaki team.
I hope that the Kawasaki, I've known in the past, they've always had great motors, the Kawasaki's. Even back in the Takati 3, that thing used to run really good, but it wouldn't last the race. There's always fenders flying off, and things just didn't last. I can't wait to see if this aluminum frame KFX is going to last. I'm curious. That's been their downfall, but I think they took their time when they made this thing, and maybe it'll hold up. I can't wait to see. But the motors do, once again, the Kawasaki's got something. They got the motors down.
Yep, they got it down, and they've got a great team with Jimmy White and Reed Nordin. I guess I was saying that improperly. Jason Newberg, Josh Creamer, and I tell you what, if I was John Natale, I'd be a little worried about these guys because John Natale, of course, has got quite a following as our fantasy ATV.
Right, well, we got to go back to J-Dub. How about his comment? What do you think he meant by build champions, not buy champions? He said build champions, not buy champions.
Well,
is that a direct...
Well, you can take it as you like it. I think everybody hears that comment and can come to their own assumptions. So I'm not going to go there, man.
I won't go there either, but it's cool that Jimmy's not scared to.
Yeah,
he shakes it up a little bit, and it's kind of that's what makes it fun, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that J-Dub says it like it is, and I hope he keeps doing that.
And he will. Once again, talking about Natale, he's on the Fantasy ATV Racing. He's everybody's favorite, of course. A tough injury. And understand that we have a little clip with Justin Anderson, who interviewed him earlier as well.
Yeah, he got a quote from John right after he got injured. So this is, I think he just got back from the hospital. He rolled in on a golf cart, and there Justin talked to him. So I think he at that time, I think he was talking about not being able to ride again or something. I don't know. Let's go see what Justin had to say.
Yeah, let's go to it.
No, coming in again after a win 2 weeks ago and then having a points lead. Coming in again, I get hurt in practice, and it's going to be tough. I'm going to get I'm going to get out and start and just try to get a couple points and try to stay ready for Oklahoma.
Tell me a little bit about the nature of the injuries, how it happened, and
I was trying to do a section, and nobody else was doing a double, triple section, and I did it twice, fine. I come in and I tried it the third time, and somehow I messed up and caught the rear wheel on the jump and flipped over, and the bike crushed me between the bike and a tabletop. So I crushed my sternum and tore my ACL in my knee and crushed the bottom of my foot. So. Pretty sore.
That's rough.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely real sore.
Ready for Oklahoma? Anything you're going to be doing specifically between now and then to try to get ready for it?
Probably take off about a week and make sure that everything's healed up fine, and then just bust my butt doing anything I can to try to get ready.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about it, man. We'll hope we'll see you back in Oklahoma.
I appreciate it. We'll be there.
Man, now I could have swore I just heard Natale say that he was going to take a week off, but... he said he had a sternum problem and an anterior cruciate ligament tear. And if I remember correctly, at one time he was running in the top 10. Truly the Iron Man. John, what do you got to think about that, man?
Yeah, I told you. Justin caught up to him right after in the golf cart, right after, and I was there and saw the shape he was in. It looked like somebody dropped a big concrete boulder on his chest. All swollen up. He got off the golf cart and limped away at like snail speed. Look, it hurt me watching him walk away. I'm like, man, he might not ride in a couple weeks. It might be a month or so. I'm glad he's walking because he was big swollen knee and cuts, and he was pretty hardcore. And then there he is, like you say, the same day out there dicing for a top 10 overall and basically a full gate. Amazing. He is. You're right. The guy amazes me. Inside, on the track and off. You gotta love John Anelli.
He's just a true champion here in our sport, and it's great to see Natale. You know, actually, I saw the incident. Most riders were tripling in and doubling out, and John was trying to double in and triple out. And what happened is, on his triple out, his tire just caught the face of that jump, and it slammed him. Man, if it would have been anybody else besides John Natale, they would have had to lifeline him out of here, man.
Wow.
It was brutal. When I saw it happen, I just thought the worst. But like I said, John Natale, he is one tough guy.
Well, I know the speeds that they're going at nowadays. I mean, I didn't get to see the track. I didn't see any of it, but I know where, I can imagine. I know the spot you're at, and yeah, the speeds are just insane. The level of competition is so fierce now that even in practice, these guys got to turn it up so hard to prepare for that main event. So, well, I'm just glad he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right. Now, I'll tell you, another big tough guy is Jesse West, man. Have you seen that guy? He is another tough guy. And I believe Justin talked to him as well.
Yeah, let's go to tape, see what he had to discover.
Good coming in here to the second race. Obviously not a big factory team here, kind of a privateer effort. Let's talk about it a little bit. Talk about being able to win out there without some of the same resources some of these guys have.
Well, it's definitely a little challenging. We're building our own team, West Racing. We're factory supported, so we got a good thing going. You know, we got good support from the factory, but yeah, we're doing it all on our own. We don't always have the best of everything, but we do what we got to do to get by.
The quad terrain racing is really, it's kind of one of these things where you never know who's going to win. It's just so challenging. You know, talk about going through the course a little bit. You know, what it's like out there.
Oh, it's definitely a game of survival, I guess. The guys that are smart and they don't get stuck are usually the guys that come out on top and get a steady pace and hang in there and choose smart lines and just be consistent. This game is all about consistency.
What's the course like this weekend? You guys have been out there a little bit?
The course is awesome. This course is my favorite. First course I raced last year, and it's a stellar course. I mean, it's got the best of everything. Whoops, jumps, big water hole, nasty logs, nasty rocks. I love it.
So do you got to be kind of a bonsai guy out there to be able to win, or does it take a little bit more of a calculating move?
Usually it's all about calculation. You got to really know what you're doing out there and have a tough machine. And like our Arctic Cats, they're real tough. And it's about doing things right, not just bonsai. But you definitely got to have that crazy edge too.
I guess any sponsors you want to thank?
Yeah, I'd like to thank West Racing, Arctic Cat, ITP Tires and Wheels, Black Magic Motorsports, Oil Boys, Stud Boy, and Brandon Machine. They all helped us get here, and they're doing a great job supporting us.
So how's it feel coming into this race? Are we going to win one this weekend?
Oh, I plan on winning it. Practice was great, and I felt real good, and my Arctic Cat 650H1 worked great.
Well, good deal. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
You know, I really like Jesse West. You got to meet him yet, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's awesome.
I like, he's just down-to-earth, humble guy. He's reserved, quiet, just really friendly and cool. I don't know what it is about him. I really like him. You know what? I can kind of relate to Jesse West. He's like my size. He's not a big, huge guy like Scott Kilby, who manhandles these utility quads. He kind of finesses it like a Darrell Rath, his teammate. And I don't know. I think it's cool to watch him ride, and I'm happy for him. The good guy won. I like him a lot. Jesse's a cool guy.
Well, you know, in Reynolds, Georgia, he definitely won. And one thing about Jesse, like you said, they're all fielding their own team this year. And Jesse's kind of like his Arctic Cat. You know, the frame on that Arctic Cat's, a lot of the other teams are scrambling to strengthen up their frame. But that Arctic Cat frame is just phenomenal. And I don't think they've done any mods to that Arctic Cat at all. It's just amazing that those machines get out there and do what they can do. You know, the Can-Ams are always getting the hole shots, but
right.
You know, of course today, of course, Scott Kilby taking a win, but the Arctic Cats are always right there. Can-Ams get the hole shots, but the Arctic Cats are always there swinging.
It's kind of a good story. I mean, you always got, you know, since the Arctic Cat seems to be so well in the rocks and dependable, although the Can-Ams are as well, but it, you know, it kind of makes it interesting. The Can-Am takes off every time on the lead, and all three of them, I think. and then the cat catches it. It's kind of a cool story. Speaking of the story, how do you announce something like that? I mean, those guys are full of mud on the first lap. Tell us a little. I'm interested in what you have to say on how you.
Well, you know, actually, that first lap is real important. You have to get your top five. And you've got to get those top five down, and you have to not take your eyes off them. Now, today I was limited in my sighting, so we do have a transponder system, but a lot of times on the QTCs, sometimes, you know, I don't have time to look at that, or there may be some questions in it, and, you know, you just got to get out there and watch it from the get-go. If you ever take your eyes off of it, then you're kind of done. So, you know, I thought it was really neat about Jesse West. You know, he says smart riders win with consistency. And it's not who gets the hole shot in the Quad Train Challenge. I was announcing that today for those of you that were listening to our live stream. And it's not about who gets the hole shot. It's taking the smart lines, being consistent. And Jesse really wrapped it up when he said, you know, keep a crazy edge, but not to go bonsai. And
right.
If you go bonsai, you are going to break something. But you do have to take it right up to that edge. And if you don't, you're going to be dropping back off the side of the track. There's no slowing down. It's like you break something and then you're done for the day. But once again, in Reynolds, Georgia there at Silver Dollar, Jesse West taking a big win in the Quad Train Challenge. Today he was struggling trying to get in the top five, but that's QTC racing.
We got to wrap it up, Mark, here soon, but I do have a question. You would know more than anyone up in the booth. The Quad Train's going on. Fans are going wild, so is the same as the 450. Is there a difference? Is there a favorite as far as you're seeing, as far as spectators?
Well, you know, one thing I do notice is when you're at your local tavern or whatever, when they do the Quad Train Challenge comes on, the people actually stop eating. The women, the kids and everything, and say, look at this on TV. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I was at a local eatery there in Tallahassee, Florida, and I didn't even know it was on. I'm telling on myself now, but these people were sitting there going, wow, look at this. And I turned around and dude, there it was, the Quad Terrain Challenge. And what's really neat, if you look at it, watch it on, you know, standing there by the track, it's very neat. But when you see it, the magic that our ESPN2 camera crew does, when you see the boom cams, they get right down and drop in the mud, you know, almost, and then they lift up and the rider goes underneath them and they drop back down. It's almost like, it looks like a helicopter's chasing them. And the Quad Train Challenge on TV is just phenomenal. It just really is. And I think a lot of people can relate to it. You know, there's a lot more utility quads sold than sport quads, and people really get into it. So, you know, when it first came out, all the sport quad riders were going, man, this is a waste of time. This is not going to be any good.
Right.
But, you know, these WPSA people, they know what they're doing. They say, we need to relate to the masses. And I think a lot of people are tuning in to watch that as a novelty thing. They've never seen it before.
And, yeah. And since they're stock machines, they could, in theory, they come out and race too.
That's right. And actually, this week we did have two amateur riders come out there. And Dave Navrotsky, his son Davey Navrotsky, rides. And he came off the track and he goes over to his son. And he could barely walk. His arms were shaking. And he grabbed his son. He said, man, I love you for what you do, because that is tough. And, you know, the World Power Sports Tour, it's been a tough couple of years getting this thing cranked up, but everybody has come together and really brought this together. And the last two events, we've faced the odds, and the odds have fallen on our favor. And for everybody that's listening, hey, keep the faith, keep listening to us, keep the love there. You know, we're trying so hard to do the best job. And like I said, WPSA is not trying to take over the world. We're just trying to do our niche and do what we do well. And you know, we're not trying to put anybody else out of business or anything. We're just out here doing what we do best, and that's entertaining people and putting on awesome events.
Absolutely. The WPSA World Power Sports Tour is, they got a winner. They have an absolute winner, and with the combination of events they've got going, the professionalism, the friendly atmosphere, without a doubt, it's a winner. So, okay, well, that's our first pilot episode of Inside Dirt. And, Matt, I don't know, tell us what you think. I'll sound off in the forum, see if we want to keep this thing going. We're dabbling with it, see what kind of response we get. And, Mark, I want to thank you for doing it with us.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I was thinking, oh, just some more work to do, but to be able to sit here and relax and kind of recoup the whole weekend, it's been a lot of fun, and it's actually made me think a little bit deeper about the program that we run here at WPSA, and once again, we're going to try to do better and better every event.
So it sounds like you might want to do this pilot again, or just maybe a series,
I'm game.
I don't know.
I'm game for it, man. You know me, I love to talk, and my fiance says that I talk in my sleep, so... Maybe if you folks like me, I'll come back.
Okay, brother. Go catch that airplane.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for the opportunity to serve the sport of ATV racing. This is Mark Straubinger with Banger Race announcing out of Tallahassee, Florida. And once again, you know, I'm not here for the money. I'm here for the sport. And as long as everybody else gets out there with that same attitude, I think the sport's going to grow and be bigger and better. And I just want to say I love all you fans and all you people that are involved in this sport. You're one awesome family. Thank you, and good night.